This is Doug Miller. I trust that you were with us last week to see the beginning of Paul's testimony of how he was saved. And we're going to continue it today, so stick around and let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, to speak into this microphone and to know that this message is going out over the air to many, and that God uses His Word to save and to change lives. And I just am grateful, very grateful, for all of you who are listening. So come along. Open up your Bibles to Acts 26. We will begin with the 15th verse, which is where we left off last time, and we will see what God has for us out of this rich and wonderful Word of His. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out as far as we can get it out there to as many as we can get it out to. And to this end, as you have heard me say many times on here, if you listen to Dialogue, we require the prayers and the support of the saints. You are the only advertisers we have. And it is your prayers that keep us going forward. We cannot exist without you. So write the name down on your little prayer list, Dialogue Ministries, and pray for Dialogue. Pray that God will give power to my words, that God will make sure that I don't stumble any or teach or preach anything wrong, and pray that God will expand this ministry. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Always a joy to hear from our listeners and to know that you're out there, to answer any questions that you have, to provide you with any information or materials that we can, just to help you in any way. Our mailing address, Dialogue Ministries, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your mailing or your writing materials handy, rather, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We also, if you want to email us, well, we can deal with that. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page, and we are working to try to keep up with everything that's going on here. We have not yet got up the messages from the May 12th conference, but we'll get them up there pretty quick, I think. But you can go on our web page and read about Dialogue and pull down the messages that are on there and listen to them. And our web page is at Dialogue Ministries. All one word, all small letters again, .org. DialogueMinistries.org. And we have a telephone. If you want to call and talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you. You're going to have to wait till you'll get a message, and you can leave a recording, and I'll get back with you. But I will get back with you. And our telephone is area code 405. 535-9089. Okay, 405-535-9089. All right, all the preliminaries are over. Let's see what we can see in the Word of God. We have Paul dragged up before Agrippa and Festus and their wives. And he's been, and I think Most of you probably have listened to Dialogue. If you haven't, and this is the first time, we are in the, you know, we've been following Paul's progress out of Jerusalem to Caesarea before this king, before that one. And finally, he is answering for himself the charges that have been brought against him by the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, the Sadducees, and what have you, down in Jerusalem. And he is answering, and he answers by giving his testimony. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is it that puts me out here anyway? I could be living a cushy existence down in Jerusalem. I could be living off the fat of the land. I could be, you know, just plug in whatever you want to, you know. Here was a wealthy man, Paul was. A well-educated man, a man who was highly regarded. I gave all of that up. And what am I now? Well, I'm a prisoner. I've got my own nation, my own people against me. They hate me and want to kill me. I have, and we read this, you can read of this in the third chapter of Philippians, I have lost everything. What was it that caused me to do this? Well, we saw the beginning of his testimony last time, and many of you out there, if not most of you, are probably familiar with Paul's testimony anyway. It's the road to Damascus. It's the road to Damascus. And I want to tell you something about this Damascus Road experience. I personally believe, although I wouldn't get pushy about it, that all Christians, in a sense, have had the equivalent of a road to Damascus experience. Why do I say that? Well, I want to refer you to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. In fact, let's pick it up at verse 15. Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Now, this is a faithful saying, literally, in Greek, faithful is the word. Faithful is the word. And that is a statement or a saying that Paul uses quite often, actually. You can put this in the bank, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, or I am the first, protos in Greek. Now, you may have heard me say this before, but here it comes again. This is not just Paul's modest, self-effacing estimation of himself. We are looking at the Word of God here, and this is apostolic, and this is God-breathed, and this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, and he says, "This is the truth, and you put it down, the chief of sinners." Now you think of this, and you think, why would Paul be the chief of sinners? What did he do that was so bad? Well, he tells us in another place. In fact, he tells us in the testimony in the book of Acts that we are getting ready to read. He persecuted the church. He was a religious man. He was sincere in what he was doing. And his sincere conviction drove him to be a murderous, hating, vicious, violent persecutor of the church. And Paul never really got over that. He makes reference to it in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He makes reference to it here. He was going one way, and God turned him around and sent him in another way. Now let's look at the 16th verse of 1 Timothy 1. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." Why did I obtain mercy? He's going to tell you. "That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now, I'm not going to get too pushy about this, because quite frankly, I might have this wrong. I know that if we are looking at just the particulars of it, Paul's salvation is Paul's salvation. I've never been to Syria even, let alone on the Damascus Road. So you can't say that the particulars of my salvation are like the particulars of Paul's salvation. But there is a pattern here, and Paul says it. There is a pattern here, and the pattern is for those who will come after and hereafter will believe on the Lord Jesus. There is something in Paul's salvation that is, let us say, typical of the Christian salvation. What is it? Well, Paul is going one way, and then he is going another way. Paul thinks he is doing right, and then he knows that he is doing wrong. Paul is stricken down. He is stomped in his tracks. He is turned around and set off in another direction, and life will never again be the same for the Apostle Paul. How about you? Has there ever been a time in your life, a place and a time that you can point to and say, that is where and that is when I was saved? Yeah, I was going one way. I was going the way of the world. I was going the way of sin and violence and wickedness. And the Lord stopped me in my tracks and revealed himself to me and changed my life. Is there a time? Do you know when it was? If you don't know when it was, I would at least ask you to consider that you may never have actually been saved. You know, there are a lot of people out there, and I've talked to many of them, who'll tell you, well, I've always been a Christian. I was born into a Christian family. I've been in the church all my life. Friend, I don't care. I don't care where you have been all your life. Was there ever a time when you had this experience of meeting the Lord, when the scales fell from your eyes, when your eyes were opened? If not, why don't you just get down and start praying and ask the Lord to show you what it is you've missed? Because if I read this book correctly, we all of us who are saved, have had something akin to the Damascus Road experience. Now let's go back to Acts and look at it. He was journeying. He heard a voice. Now believe me when I tell you, I'm not talking. Paul heard a literal voice here. I never did. But in a sense, I did. And it changed my life. Look at this. I heard a voice saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the goads. Kentra is the word in Greek. The picture is of an ox goad, the goads that were in the plow and in the harness that kept the ox from kicking backward against the plower. And the picture here is that Paul is being goaded by his own conscience. And he's kicking against this. And Paul asks the question, I said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And the answer that he gets, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? First off, you will notice that Paul immediately calls him Lord. And I have said before, and you've heard me say on here, I've always kind of thought that, you know, Paul, I just kind of see him standing there in the Damascus Road, listening to this voice, asking the question, and then just kind of gritting his teeth and saying, oh no, I'm afraid I know what the answer is going to be. I'm afraid I know. You may have heard me say on here not long ago, I was reading recently the testimony of a man named Rennell Showers. Rennell Showers is a Jewish believer. He is associated with an organization that works with the Jews and tries to get the gospel out to the Jews. Good, good brother. In his testimony, which I was reading, he says that one day he was in the synagogue reading from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And as he read From the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He said warning bells and whistles started going off in his head, and a voice almost audible said to him, "Stop reading, this sounds like Jesus." And then another voice whispered, "Keep reading, this sounds like Jesus." And he said, "You know, I thought, well, this is the Bible. It's in my synagogue. I'm sitting in the synagogue. It's the synagogue that gave it to me. It can't be wrong." And he kept reading in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and got saved. That warning, those warning bells, is what interests me about that. Stop reading. This sounds like Jesus. And I can just see Paul here, you know. "Who art thou, Lord? Oh, please, don't let me hear what I think I'm going to hear." But that's what he heard. "I am Jesus." Now, the voice doesn't say, "I was Jesus." "Yep, I'm that man they crucified. I'm dead and buried. You can forget." No, I am, present tense, Jesus. He is the eternal, everlasting God. He came forth from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. But there is something more that Paul learns here. Paul has not been, or he might say, "I am not persecuting you. What did I ever do to you?" Oh, yes, you are, Paul. Paul learned something here in the dust of the Damascus Road, and it is that Jesus' believers are in vital, unbreakable union with Jesus Christ himself. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the Lord in heaven. And you, when you raise your hand against a believer, you're raising it against the Lord. "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And then the Lord Jesus goes on and says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Now, Paul called him Lord. Paul called him Lord. "Who art thou, Lord?" Let's see how seriously Paul took this. You know, the Lord Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." If you are out there today calling the Lord Jesus Lord, Lord, but not doing what he says, I don't know how to say this any other way. You're just not telling the truth. You are not owning the lordship of Christ. You're not bowing the knee to him. Paul, in every letter that he wrote, begins by describing himself as a bondslave, a doulos of Jesus Christ. And that, too, is the Word of God, and that, too, is the Holy Spirit, and that is the truth. Now, let's see what else the Lord is going to tell Paul. Verse 17, he says this, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Oh, no. This gets just simply worse and worse from the standpoint of a good Orthodox Jew. Remember when God, if you were listening to Dialogue, or maybe you've just, I'm sure many of you have read Acts on your own. Remember Acts 10, where God sends Peter almost kicking and screaming down to Cornelius's household, a Gentile. First thing Peter says when he walks in there, "As you know, it's unlawful for me to be here." The first thing he said to Cornelius, boy, I bet Cornelius felt great about that. Everything Paul had ever been taught about the Gentiles is that they were dogs, that they were unclean, that he should have nothing to do with them, that he could have nothing to do with them. Not only is Paul finding out something, this one he has been trying to stamp out, this faith he's been trying to stamp out is from God, and the one he's talking to is God, but God's got something for him to do. "Paul, get ready. I'm going to deliver you from the Jewish people. They want to kill you. They're not going to do it. I am going to send you to the Gentiles. Oh, please. To do what? Well, he says here, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want to tell you something. This is a wonderful passage. It's exciting to read. I can remember right now my Damascus Road experience. I will never forget that until they shovel the dirt over me or until I am caught up with the saints to the Lord in heaven, whichever comes first. And I hope it's the latter. That's what I'm looking for. But I will not forget my Damascus Road experience. A night in early 1957 when the scales fell from my eyes. And I saw the Lord and His Lordship. Look at this. Look at what was done for me. To open my eyes, to turn from them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Look at this. Some of you out there right now are in darkness. You are under the power of Satan. I don't care what you think about it. You may think of yourself as a free man. If you're not saved, you're not free. You are doing the enemy's bidding, and you are blind and in darkness. And look at this, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance incorrupted and uncorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, that is reserved in heaven for us. That's what Peter wrote. 1 Peter 1:4, and this is exactly what Paul is going to be sent out to do. Look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient. I went out there, and I did what the Lord has told me to do, and I've been doing that, and I'm going to keep on doing it. Now, for those of you out there who are saved, you have the assurance of salvation. You have the Spirit indwelling you, bearing witness that you are saved and born again. Let me ask you something. Paul got a commission from the Lord here to do something. If you don't understand that you, no less than Paul, have been taken hold of for a purpose and commissioned to do something, if you don't understand that, if you think that you're, you know, as a saved person, that your whole purpose in life is just kind of to take up space and kind of occupy a pew, or if you're sitting around saying, well, I can't do anything. I don't, you know, I can't preach. I can't teach. And, you know, I've heard all of this. Let me tell you something. God has things for you to do. Your life has a purpose to it that you never could have dreamed of before. And for those of you who are unsaved, do you want purpose to your life? Do you want your life to mean something? Do you want to leave this world better than how you found it? You get saved right now. You give your life to Christ. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue,